Healy, superstar. Do you think you're what they say you are? Ricky Lee, superstar. Do you think you're what they say you are?
It's showtime with Ricky Lee. Thank you for joining me here on 101.5 Huntley Community Radio, with streaming and podcasts available at huntleyradio.com. For as long as there have been entertainers, there have been entertainment critics. What makes a good, informative theater review? Today, my guest is Gina Belt Daniels, who heads up theater reviews for the Northwest Herald. We'll be discussing the process for reviewing live theater. Welcome to the show, Gina.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you, Ricky Lee.
Now, prior to getting your start writing reviews, you have an ongoing career as an actress and director and teacher as well. Can you tell us a little bit about how that prepared you for work reviewing theater?
Sure. Well, I've been acting since first grade, when I was cast as a very bossy Mother Goose. And I've gone on to do shows at the Opera House and Rao and ECC. And I've also directed 35 shows. But I think that my acting and dealing with cast better prepared me to be a theater reviewer. It also prepared me to be a good director. A director has to see the entire picture. And I don't think I really fully understood that until I directed my first show, which was Steel Magnolias.
Oh.
But at the Opera House, actually. But being a reviewer, because I was a director and saw all of the pieces that had to go into a play, makes me appreciate so much all the work that goes into a show. You know, they talk about a director being like an artist with a palette, you know, with all these different colors. And as a theater reviewer, because I've directed, because I've acted, I can look for those things. I know to compliment those people that normally are left out, like the costumer, the set designer, the lighter, the sound, the dialect coach. So I hope that's a good answer, Ricky.
That's an excellent answer. And at what point did you decide, hey, I want to write a review? What was that process going from being an actress and a director to writing your first review?
Actually, it wasn't something I pursued. Janie Zarni, who at that time was working with WMTC at the Opera House, asked me if I would write a review of a show. So I said yes. And it just happened to get picked up by the Herald and then some other Shaw media. And then I decided, hey, I like free tickets. I like to see a lot of shows in Chicago that I don't have to pay for. So I continued on. And fortunately for me, Shaw Media and my wonderful editor, Renee, keeps buying what I write. So I like it.
Very good. Now, what is the benefit for a theater critic? What do they get out of it? Free tickets?
Well, hopefully. If you're a good reviewer, besides the free tickets, you've got the opportunity to point out the best and the worst of things in a professional manner, I hope, in a diplomatic manner. And I think that a good theater reviewer can help careers, can boost morale, can aid creative teams in refashioning a show. I think that it's a very valuable, a very valuable side of a production.
And what is the benefit for the theater company to offer these free tickets?
Well, they get a lot of publicity for their show, good or bad. Hopefully good.
Now, you manage a stable of theater critics for the Northwest Herald. And I have to assume every critic has kind of their own style. Do you try and match a style to each theater? How do you go about deciding who's going to review what production?
I do try to match styles. It's very interesting because each viewer has a different style of writing. So a lot of times, if I know there's a reviewer that's not particularly good with musicals, I'm not going to send them.
Right.
I know they're particularly interested. For example, Paul Lockwood right now, he's going down to the Paramount to review Groundhog Day. He's very big with Groundhog Day ceremonies up in Woodstock. I know with you, Ricky Lee, that I'm assigning a Goodman production, The Outsiders, because that's also a show that's very important to you. For me, I like to go to shows that I've directed or been in, because I think that can add another dimension to my review.
And how do you go about, when you go to a show, you know you're going to do a review. Do you do any preparation beforehand?
I always research the show. I always research the playwright. I look on the website of the theater that I'm going to. Steppenwolf, Goodman, they always send out wonderful PR material. And that's so appreciated.
And do you take that and educate some of the other theaters that this would be beneficial for reviewers if they offer that kind of promotional material?
I have tried. And it's interesting that some of the smaller groups have now been giving information in folders when they find out that you're the reviewer, mm-hmm. and they'll give it to you, your tickets. So.
And now, does the theater critic also have to go about getting pictures from the theater, or is that something that you or the editor handles?
A lot of times the theater company will send it when they know that you're coming. A lot of times with the smaller groups, community theater, I've had to track them down.
Mm-hmm.
I always send mine in with my review or a couple of days before, because I need to make sure that they don't get lost and that my editor has them.
What are the qualities of a good theater critic? What does a good theater critic bring to the process?
Okay. Well, yeah, I have a list, Ricky Lee.
All right.
first of all, a good theater critic has got to remember that the review is just their opinion, and it's subjective. And you have to be open to unfamiliar subjects and ideas. My most important thing is that when I'm sitting down watching a play or a musical, is that I have an obligation to the audience. They paid for the ticket. But I also have an obligation to the cast and the crew, because they've spent weeks or maybe months on a production. I always like to point out things that can be fixed, because I think that sometimes it can help a show. And I think that's the director in me,
mm-hmm.
Especially like little things like sound with body mics, or maybe lighting if someone's missing their mark, a costume thing that could be fixed, a pacing, or maybe even some blocking that's confusing. I always catch those things. And again, I think that's because of having been a director. I think most of the time the audience would never catch it. A lot of times I'll just text the director directly and just put that in. I don't like to put it in a review, because then all of a sudden people are going to be looking for that when they go. I never, ever put any spoilers in. I do put a brief description always, or a summary of a play. And I always look for a hook to grab the audience. Like, for example, when I did the review about you, I made sure that I put that hook in about you being a Renaissance man.
Yes.
It happens to be true, but that also hooked a lot of people to read it to find out what I was talking about. Like I also said, I always do the research on the play. I try to find interesting facts about the playwright or the play, if it's won any awards, things like that. And I always, always try to mention all the actors, even if it's just a list of the names of the ensemble, because all those people are there doing their work. And as I said before, too, I always include the names of the director, the set designer, the costumer, the lights and the sound, because generally those are the people that are left out. Usually reviewers tend to write mostly about the actors. I also like to include, like, if there's special effects or projections, sometimes the dialect coach, hair and makeup, something like, you know, the show, like Noise is Off,
mm-hmm.
it has props and set changes. So I like to mention the stage manager. But a good theater critic, I think, has to remember that the review is just a short essay for the reader to know the play and the group.
Mm-hmm.
So how's
And is it, when something is wrong with a show, in your opinion. Now, you mentioned you might approach the director outside of the review. So in the case of your theater reviews, you've mentioned that you tend to approach the director outside of the review if there's something wrong that they could tweak. Do you find that directors appreciate that?
Generally, yes. I can think in all the reviews I've written, there probably was only one situation where I approached a director and he thought it was absolutely nuts. And it's really funny because it happened to be a Chicago show, and the great Chris Jones happened to make the same comment that I did, except his was in print. And I thought that was very interesting.
Now, are there subjects that you try and avoid in your reviews?
I don't think so. I think, you know, again, like I said, I have an obligation to the audience, and I don't like to leave anything else. I like to really focus on the themes and the focus. There really hasn't been any play, to my memory, that ever, you know, was a subject that was uncomfortable for me or I thought might be uncomfortable for the audience. Now, I have had difficult reviews to write.
How so? What makes a difficult review?
Well, I'll tell you directly. I saw Bugs at Steppenwolf, and it was written by Tracy Lett, who I absolutely adore as an actor, and he's written other things, a show that I think that you were in, Ricky Lee.
Osage County.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
The story in Bug, it was so horrific. I can't even begin to go there. And they brought it back again, too, and again. It was so horrific, but the acting was fantastic. So it was absolutely the most difficult review I've ever had to write. I had to compliment the acting, but I mean, there's death, there's nudity, there's scenes from like pulling teeth out. It's just horrific.
Every good writer can have at least one dud.
Thank you.
You're listening to It's Showtime with Ricky Lee on 101.5 Huntley Community Radio, with streaming and podcasts available at huntleyradio.com. Today, my guest is Gina Belt Daniels, who is in charge of assigning theater critics for the Northwest Herald. We are discussing what goes into writing a quality theatrical review. So, Gina, before you go to the show, you do your research. You've talked about the different things that you research. What about walking into the theater? How do you prepare yourself that night for the performance itself?
Generally, I'm very, very excited. I can't wait to get there. I like to hang out in the lobby and listen to comments of the audience that's about to go in. It's really funny, too. Like, I love going to Steppenwolf because I always get placed by Chris Jones, who I just absolutely adore, and some other reviewers that I've gotten to know over the years. And it's really funny because I have this joke that Chris Jones walks in 5 minutes before the show begins. And every single time that has been true, whether it's been Paramount or for wherever, 5 minutes after that man sits down in his seat, the show starts.
Wow. That's respect.
Really, I always look at the program too. I like to read the director's notes. I do the cast bios to see if there's anything that, you know, I'm going to need to put in my review. Just all of those things. I study all that, too. So generally, I'm in my seat as soon as the doors open. So generally, a half an hour before the play begins.
Now, you listen to the audience before the show. What about at intermission or even after the show? Do you take other people's opinions into consideration?
I do. Fortunately for me, a lot of the shows that I've been at, the audience has loved the show, you know, standing ovations, so on and so forth. Intermission, the comments in the women's bathroom are always very interesting. And a lot of times I've followed up on some of those comments because it's an area maybe I wasn't going to go to or didn't even think of, but it made me think. I also like to hang around the water cooler because that seems where a lot of the men congregate. So, and sometimes my husband goes outside to smoke and he'll tell me what he hears, you know, so I get a little spy report too. So
now, does Farlene play a part in your reviews?
Sometimes I'll ask him to read a review if I'm stuck on a flow. I always ask him his opinion, but a lot of times it doesn't really count, you know, because it's me.
Right.
But he, you know, he doesn't have a theatrical background. So I appreciate him as a member of the general public.
Mm.
And, you know, he's given me, you know, we've had great conversations, like coming back home from certain shows and so forth. So
now you've talked about that you do your research before seeing the show. You listen to the audience, you read the bios, you're into the program, getting all prepared in to watch the show. What about after the show, when you sit down to actually write the review? What is the process like?
Oh, that's a headache. I always take notes during a show. And when I get home, depending on how motivated I am, for example, if it's a show I've been really surprised at, I can write something. A lot of times I'll just leave it alone for that night. And then maybe 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, I get all these great thoughts. So I have to get up and write them down. Generally, I don't start writing a rough draft until the next day. And then I just go over it and over it and over. And I check the program to make things, you know, make sure things are spelled correctly. And then I'll set that aside. And then maybe later that evening or the next day, I'll reread it again and then make any type of changes or editing or things that I maybe didn't catch the first time around. But I'm also lucky, too, and I know I keep bringing up my editor, Renee Tommel. She has caught things, too, or a grammatical error. And that really helps having that support, too.
And how long is a typical theater review?
Well, it depends, again, on how much space is allowed with the Herald or Shaw Media. And generally, I've been lucky. I've gotten a page. Now, there was one time when, President Biden bumped one of my reviews when he came to MCC.
Okay.
So that review didn't run, and that was okay. There was another time when they only had space for half a page, so I had to really seriously cut a review. Thank heavens it was a monologue, so I could take a lot of it out.
Now, if a show isn't good, do you still review it? Or, I mean, have you ever said, I can't endorse this show, you might not want this review to run?
Yes.
And describe that feeling. What do you do?
That is just very agonizing, and it's only happened to me once. Fortunately, there was another show that we could substitute in, but I just had to tell the director that, in fairness, I couldn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
And they weren't interested in another reviewer, so it just went the wayside.
And you manage a stable of writers, a lot of different writers. How do you prepare them to make sure that they offer a quality review?
Well, a lot of times they send it to me first before it goes to Renee, and then I can point some things out. I always, you know, again, tell them they have an obligation to the audience as well as to the cast and crew. And, you know, just hope that they're going to be fair. We've had to drop some reviewers because of not just their style of writing, but also the fact that they can't seem to find anything positive.
Oh, yeah. I think it's very important to always find the positives. That's not to say you should ignore the negatives, but I like to put a positive spin on theater reviews because we love this community. We love this theatrical community that Chicago has, and we kind of want to support it.
Right. And also, as I said before, these people have worked weeks or months on getting this production up and running. Although I do have a good friend in California that if he can't say anything nice, he'll say things like, he wore his costume well.
Now, have you ever stated something negative and had that come back to bite you?
Not that I can recall.
Good, 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 good.
Yeah.
I have. So you review professional theater like Steppenwolf and Goodman and Marriott Metropolis, and then you also review community theater such as Theater 121. Or do you do a different process for professional versus community theater?
I think probably I give them a little bit more leeway. Because obviously their budgets aren't, you know, like Paramount Theater seems to have a $1 million budget because their shows are like beyond Broadway, as opposed to something at the Opera House or PM&L. So I give them leeway in that area with budgets. Also, you have to recognize the quality of acting, the experience of the director, the cast and crew, too, because that plays a lot into it. But then again, I have seen some community theater that was way above some professional theater that I've seen.
Very good. Now, you also review comedy shows, live stand-up comedy. What is your process for that? It must be a little different than theater.
It is different. Obviously, there's no plot. there's very rarely a set design or costumes or things. Again, I'm looking at the individual. I'm looking at their background. I'm looking at how well they communicate with the audience, how much, you know, they can make them laugh, if there's chemistry, that type of thing.
Now, I've noticed with the COVID and how we're just coming back from that, theater starting to start up again, the programs, a lot of theaters don't give you a physical program right now. They're doing it digitally. Right. Does that affect your preparation? As you said, you like to sit and read the program before the show.
No, it hasn't. I like doing it on my phone. It's not a problem. Now, it's funny because I think I was at Legally Blonde at Metropolis, and there were some members of the audience complaining to the ushers that they didn't have a paper program. And it's also funny because when you think about it, most of the time when people are on their way out of the theater, they're just putting the program in the recycling. So, no, it doesn't bother me in the least. And as a matter of fact, as I said, I like it on my phone, and then it stays on my phone for future reference.
Now, when you've had to let some reviewers go because they were a little too negative, do you have favorite reviewers that work for under you?
Yes.
And what makes them stand out? You don't have to name names.
I won't. I don't want to get in trouble. It's probably their style of writing and also how they cover the plays and the actors. Just their expertise, too.
Now, you mentioned Chris Jones as somebody that you really look up to. What is it about Chris's writing style?
Oh, wow. Well, again, he seems to be somebody that provides a lot of research. And I like the comments that he makes about the performers. He seems to have the ability to go right in between the eyes, but nicely. I also like his background, his theatrical background. I know he started out as a dancer in Leeds, England. So I first met him, I think I was at Goodman at Christmas Carol. And he's very, very gracious. He's a nice man. I was afraid to approach him. I didn't tell him what I was doing. But, you know, he was very, very nice. And usually when I see him at shows, he's either with his wife or his son. And he's just nice to everybody.
Have you ever had a situation where a critic wasn't able to be impartial?
Yes, and that happens a lot with community theater.
How do you go about encouraging changes to be more diplomatic?
I tell them they have to be diplomatic and they can't concentrate on their friend. That, you know, the whole article, the review cannot be about their friend. That there were a heck of a lot of other people in the cast and crew and so forth. And if they can't rewrite it, then I'll go to the show and do it myself.
And do you have any pet peeves of things that stand out in other people's reviews that just you wish they wouldn't go there?
I think when they take off on, a various theme, you know, or like using the gender pronouns.
Mm-hmm.
Is something along those lines.
And what advice would you give to somebody who wants to try reviewing theater?
I say go and write. You know, don't be afraid to write. But I was going to tell you, Ricky Lee, I have a favorite comment that was from a reviewer. Her name is Mary Carol McCauley, and she wrote it in the Baltimore Sun. And this was not a nice comment. She said, "Opportunity knocked last night at the door of the Marquee Theater, where Crybaby is making its Broadway debut, but nobody answered."
Ooh.
I keep that in the back of my mind. And then in the play that I just saw down in Elgin, The Games Afoot, they had this great comment about the theater critic. She was evil. She was ruthless. She was a theater critic, for God's sake. And that is another ouch. So keep that in the back of your mind.
You've been listening to It's Showtime with Ricky Lee on 101.5 Huntley Community Radio. Today, my guest has been Gina Belt Daniels. We've been discussing what makes an interesting and informative theater review. You can see Gina's reviews for yourself in the Northwest Herald. Gina, thank you so much for spending time with us today.
Thank you, Ricky Lee. The time went so fast. You're such a good interviewer.
Oh, you are an excellent guest, and I look forward to reading your reviews.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.